This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Wednesday, June 16th. Good morning, buenos dias, and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always great to be with you once again. Remember that Wednesdays are traditionally dedicated to St. Joseph, something to remember in this year of St. Joseph. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Catholic and pro-life evangelist, who's also a dad, Omar Aguilar, the Director of Religious Education for Mary Immaculate Church in Farmers Branch, Texas, in the Diocese of Dallas, to talk about the vocation to fatherhood. A little bit later this hour, we'll also bring Rome to home with our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona, for the latest on the Holy Father's weekly Wednesday audience. What was the message of Pope Francis for the world today? We'll have it for you. And we'll also bring you another edition of Glenn's Story Corner. All that and much more coming up in this hour here on Morning Air. Now, we start the day and each hour giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now we continue to pray for peace and unity in our nation. We also pray for the U.S. bishops who are meeting today and for the more than 600,000 Americans that have died due to the corona pandemic. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race which is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The author of the letter to the Hebrews reminds us that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. These witnesses are the communion of saints. These are the Hall of Famers that have finished the race. Picture them cheering for us. They are praying for us from heaven to finish the race, to finish with perseverance, always keeping our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And we always finish praying, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. As you know, this coming Sunday, June 20th, is Father's Day, a very special day for all dads. It's not just a feast day. In fact, in the Catholic Church, it is not considered a feast day, but it is a day when all sons and daughters can take some time to thank their fathers and show appreciation to their dads. It's also a day to pray for our fathers, especially the ones who are no longer with us. But what is the true meaning of the vocation of fatherhood from a Catholic Christian perspective, and how has it changed over the years? And now joining us from Mexico City, Mexico, to talk about the vocation to fatherhood is a Catholic dad, Omar Aguilar, the Director of Religious Education for Mary Immaculate Church in Farmers Branch, Texas, in the Diocese of Dallas. Omar is also the host of several Catholic and pro-life programs on Spanish radio and television, and the author of the book, Latino Católicos en los Estados Unidos, Latino Catholics in the U.S. Good morning, Omar. Welcome back to Morning Air. Great to be with you again to talk about fatherhood as a vocation. I understand you are on vacation in Mexico City.
Good morning. doing? It's great to be back with you. It's more of some family matters taking care of down here in Mexico City and other places. But it's great to be with you. And I got to tell you, I had the blessing to be yesterday with her mother. I was with the Virgin of Guadalupe yesterday. I was at the Basilica praying for all of you. It was quite a moment. I had a chance to be there. It was quite empty, so I got a chance to actually be there for a while. And it's great to be here this morning to talk about this amazing blessing of being a dad, being a father.
Well, happy Father's Day in advance of this Sunday celebration. That would be an incredible moment for you to be able to spend some time in front of the actual image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Real briefly, what was that feeling? What does it feel like to be in front of the real image, not a copy like we have in so many churches?
Well, it is. You run out of words, because once you are there, you know that you are before her presence. She is here in this city, in this town. She is here waiting for us, waiting to lead us to Jesus. So whenever you get a chance to be before her presence, even if it's just for a few moments, it's always that moment when, you know, you walk in there with so many things, so many petitions. You know, you want to ask her to do this, to do that, to intercede for you. But then by the moment you get there, everything goes away. You just want to be there and be in awe and be amazed, and your heart just pour out of joy, because you are in front of our mother.
Well, what a tremendous blessing. And we have such a devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe here at Relevant Radio. She's such an important part of our mission of bringing Christ to the church through the media. Let's talk about fatherhood and this vocation of fatherhood. What does fatherhood mean for you personally, Omar, being the dad of five children?
Honestly, it's truly a blessing that because of the yes of my wife, because of my yes, now we're parents of five kids. And to me, that is the greatest gift that I get to hold them, that I get to love them, that I get to guide them, and also that I get to learn from them. It's amazing what can interject and bring to your life. And myself and for my wife, is not only spending the rest of our lives together, but also to giving life to these five beautiful and amazing kids.
Let's talk about the church's teaching on fatherhood. Can you give us a little bit of background on what the church teaches, what scripture in our faith teaches about fatherhood?
Is that fatherhood means to be listening to God, to be tentative to God. From the very beginning, we see Adam, and then we go all throughout the history of salvation, you know, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and obviously, without a doubt, Saint Joseph, fulfilling this sacred duty to hold the power to rule over the earth. But also to be fruitful and to listen to God. I mean, I always reflect on that first of all, you know, to be a father is yes, to say yes to your wife and to say yes to your kids. But above that is to, first of all, to listen to God, to listen to whatever God is asking you to do with your wife, with your family, with your kids, and in your personal life. So throughout, you know, the history of salvation, we know that being a father is to be attentive to the will of God.
Omar, for you as a dad, what is the greatest joy for you to be a father?
Oh, I guess, first of all, it's just, you know, I witnessed the birth of my five children. So to be there with my wife present in that moment up to this day, it's one of the greatest blessings. Just to know that once again, you know, the two of us together, that when we say yes to each other, when we get married, you know, this was one of the possibilities, one of the blessings to become parents. And obviously, you know, to see them grow, to see my kids becoming the person that they're going to become. And throughout all this process, to somehow, little by little, work with them, talk to them, guide them. Because at the end of the day, I just don't want my kids to go to college, to have a good life, to have a good career, to be the very best they can. But at the end of the day, I want my kids to be saints. I want my kids to be holy. I want my kids to go to heaven. And to me, that is their greatest grief, and at the same time, the greatest challenge.
Well, Omar, this issue, this topic that we're talking about, fatherhood, is so important. We want to make sure that we hear you clearly. If you can make sure that you're as close to the telephone and speak directly into it, because we are long distance from Mexico City, so we have the best possible connection. In the meantime, I'd like to invite any dads who want to share their greatest joy as a father. Dads, if you feel compelled to call in and join our conversation, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Omar, how important is it to spend time with your children and to do it on a regular basis?
Well, it is extremely important because, you know, we always hear that phrase, you know, boys will be boys, girls will be girls. But at the end of the day, don't forget that boys one day will also become men. They will become father. They will become a husband. And so it is extremely important for us to be there with our kids, to show them, to lead them, to guide them. Many years ago, while I was visiting my dad, he was working in his backyard. He was cleaning. And while he was almost done with it, we were just chatting away, you know, having a good time. And then these two little kids came walking by. And next thing you know, they start just dropping, I think they had some like candy with them, and they just dropped the wrapping in the grass while my dad was cleaning. Obviously, my dad asked them to pick up their trash. Well, one of the little kids, probably no older than 8-9 years old, he is often my dad, horrible. He starts cussing at my dad and saying these horrible things. So I look at the kid and I say, stop. Why are you saying that? And then I ask the kid, I say, is this what your dad is teaching you? And then the look in the face of the kid totally changed. He looked at me and he said, Dad, I don't have a dad. I don't know who's my dad. And then John, at that moment, he hit me. We are raising an army of fatherless kids. We are raising an army of men that never seen a real man, that they don't know what a dad looks like. They don't even have a notion what a dad truly means. And so that's why it is so important for all of us to spend time with our kids so that they get to see what a dad looks like, with our failures, with our successes, with everything in between. But nonetheless, the importance to spending time together with our families, with our kids, is probably one of the greatest gifts that we can give to our kids, to our families, and to society at large.
Without a doubt. We're joined by Omar Aguilar, a good friend from Mexico City, Mexico, Catholic evangelist, the author of Latino Catholics, and the director of religious education at Mary Immaculate Catholic Church in Dallas, Texas. Omar, let's talk a little bit about discipline. You alluded to a situation a moment ago, but how do you discipline your children, yet do it with charity and with kindness and with empathy and still be strong as a dad?
Yes, I guess, you know, I grew up back in the day, if we can say that when a good spanking was something normal. So my mom was never afraid to, you know, for a good spanking if I did something wrong. Now, throughout the years, we're learning to be better, to do better. And we know that, you know, physical punishment is no longer needed. But yet, we still call to reprimand, to teach or kids, to lead them, to guide them the right way. And sometimes that means, you know, to give them strong words, to give them a good advice, to perhaps sometimes nowadays, you know, to take away their phone, because, you know, once you do that, it seems you're taking half of their life away, you know.
I know that feeling. Believe me, I know that feeling. We actually had to, we literally had to take away a cell phone, an iPhone to my 13-year-old son last summer because he was just on it way too much. And we said, that's it. And we cut him off, and he hasn't had it since. And believe me, he doesn't really miss it, because you can't miss something you don't have. So those are some of the many, many challenges for us to be good dads.
Absolutely. And there's also, you know, every time that you need to that you need to punish, that you need to correct your kids, it's a good time to be creative, to teach them a new lesson. And for instance, you know, taking away their phone, you know, taking them away from the TV, asking them to, you know, don't spend so much time with their friends. So, you know, these are opportunities also to come together as a family, to perhaps to do something else, perhaps to teach them that they don't depend on those things, that once again, you know, that their life is not over once their cell phone is not longer in their hands. So all of these are good opportunities in charity and in love to work with this, with your kids, and at the same time, you know, to teach them discipline and to teach them consequences. You know, that when you do wrong, well, there's going to be consequences. When you do right, we're going to celebrate and we're going to be with you. But at the same time, you know, this is a good opportunity. And once again, you know, if we don't know how to do it, we can always ask God. God, teach me, lead me, show me the right way to be a good parent, to be a good dad.
Omar, let's talk about being a spiritual leader as a father, spiritual leader of the family, teaching and actually living the Catholic faith at home. How important is it for the dad's example, especially? We know the mother's example is very important, but I think in some ways the dad's is crucial.
Absolutely. We are totally crucial throughout the history of salvation. We see the men of role to be very, very important. And I was thinking about this while you were talking, John, and I remember clearly in Justice Clarence Thomas' autobiography, his book, he talks about how he was raised by his granddad. His granddaddy raised him and his brother. And he said that at some point when he was very little, probably, I don't know, 9 years old, his granddaddy told him to follow him. He said, my granddaddy told me to do what he does, not what he says. And that to me was quite shocking, because we are used to tell our kids what to do. You know, we are used to ask them to do things. And when it comes to our faith, you know, we are used to send them to church, to take them to Sunday school Bible, you know, to ask them to go to confession. But that's just part of it. The biggest part is us leading the way. You know, they need to see us praying. They need to see us going to confession. They need to go with us to confession. They need to see us having reverence at Mass. They need to see us kneeling before God. And so that is the greatest example that we can give to our families, that they need to see Dad, that they need to see the Father leading the way. For many years, I had the chance that my second daughter, Kiara, 13 years old now, when she did her first communion, I took her to her first confession. And then for many, many years, we always went together. And then obviously life and work and, you know, things, we can't do it anymore together. But every time that we can, we go together. And it was quite a challenge, because I used to travel quite a bit back then. And she always used to wait for me. She said, Daddy's coming home Saturday and we're going to go to confession. And to me, that was one of the greatest gifts of being his dad, that I was able to take her to confession, that I was able to lead her into the faith. And so that's what we should challenge ourselves, more than just tell them what to do, that they need to see us doing it. So one day they can say, oh, I remember my dad taking us to confession. Oh, I remember my dad going to Sunday Mass. Oh, I remember my dad praying with us and for us.
Great point, Omar. We have time for a very quick call. John, if you could be brief. John is with us from Philadelphia. Welcome to Morning Air.
Oh, thank you, John. Just a loud amen, okay, to, you know, your guest. I'm sorry I didn't catch
Omar.
Your name. Omar. That's a wonderful name. But at any rate, yes, amen, because I think, like, well, where do we get the graces necessary to do these things, okay, to bond with our wives, to bond with our children, and, you know, where do we get the, you know, the job to work and, you know, the environment, okay, to aid to a healthy family? As Christians, we should be in constant contact with our Lord. We should be praying to Him every day.
Amen. Amen, John. Time for a quick reaction from Omar as we're up against a break, Omar.
Absolutely. Just, you know, one final word, you know, always be listening to the will of God. Never be afraid to say yes to God. Never be afraid to say to your wife yes, to your kids. And above all, always be in close contact with God. Always be willing to listen to His will in your life.
Well, Brother Omar, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us from Mexico City, the site of the Shrine, the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Thank you so much for being with us here to talk about the vocation to fatherhood.
Happy Father's Day to you, my friend, and to all of you. Thank you, John.
Happy Father's Day to you. Omar Aguilar, the Director of Religious Education for Mary Immaculate Church in Farmers Branch, Texas, in the Diocese of Dallas. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll go live to Roma to connect with our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona, for the latest on the Holy Father's Weekly Wednesday audience. Stay with us. Much, much more to come here on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
26 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on this Wednesday, June 16th. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always a joy to be with you once again here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up a little bit later this hour, Joe Boland, the Vice President of Mission with Catholic Extension, will update us on Puerto Rico's hurricane season and the great work that Catholic Extension is doing on this island. But now it's time to bring Rome to home for the latest on the Holy Father's weekly Wednesday audience. We go live to the Eternal City to check in with our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project, providing Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. Buongiorno, Ashley. Always great to be with you once again from Roma.
Buongiorno, John. Very happy to be here today on a bright and sunny Wednesday, a papal audience day.
Absolutely. Pope Francis, once again during his weekly audience, spoke about prayer for the last time, something that he's been doing for a very long time, for more than a year, on this issue of prayer. What was the message of the Holy Father in today's general audience, Ashley?
Well, yes, John. In fact, his catechetical conversation on prayer started in May of 2020, and today the final installment in that catechesis focused on the book of John, chapter 17, and the high priestly prayer of Christ. And Pope Francis said that prayer is something, of course, that's very obvious in the life of Christ, but he said that dialogue with the Father, what he called the incandescent, is what was called the incandescent core of Jesus' entire existence. And the Pope said that even though Jesus, of course, prayed throughout his earthly life, he pointed out that his prayer became even more intense in those days, in those final hours that led to his passion and his death. And he called those moments the central core of the Christian proclamation. And of course, that was the proclamation that shed light then on all of Jesus' life. And the Pope said that the faithful should look to Jesus' prayer on the cross as a model for our own prayer. He called Jesus' prayer intense and unique. And he pointed out that in the last days of the final Passover, in the agony of in the garden, Jesus is fully immersed in prayer. And in that prayer, he confidently addressed God as Abba. He called him Father. And the Pope pointed out that that very word expressed intimacy and trust. And of course, that again, when on the cross, Jesus called God Father. And so the Pope suggested that we all do the same. He said that when Jesus cried out to God on the cross, saying, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, he was offering everything. And with that in mind, Pope Francis today said it is important for all the faithful to never forget that Jesus also prayed for every single human creation personally. He said that, quote, each of us was willed by Jesus Christ in his passion, death, and resurrection, and everything was offered for us. And so Pope Francis emphasized that a few times, trying to remind all that Jesus prayed for everyone. And he used the phrase, you have been prayed for. In fact, he wanted to remind all listeners that everyone is part of Jesus' dialogue with the Father. That's, of course, in communion with the Holy Spirit. And the Pope went on to say, quote, Jesus prayed for me on the cross. He prayed. Jesus can say to each one of us, I prayed for you at the Last Supper and on the wood of the cross. And so today he concluded his message, John, by reminding the faithful to move forward in prayer with courage and with hope, and to always remember that Jesus prays for you.
Great, great message. And you know, this may have been the last of his catechesis on prayer, but I assure you that he will bring up prayer here and there in upcoming audiences. I think this message of John 17:1, our Lord Jesus Christ's prayer is for unity, that we may all be one like he and the Father are one, is so important in this day and age, especially in our country. And also as an exercise for us as Catholic Christians, we can take to heart the Holy Father's message by meditating meditating on those last seven words of our Lord on the cross that we meditate on Good Friday. So powerful. They're in play every day of the year, not just Good Friday.
That's exactly right. And as a little comical side note to what you just said, John, actually today there was a person in the audience who was a fan of the Swiss soccer team. And he actually, because there is a big game tonight in the European Football Championships between Italy and Switzerland. So this Swiss football fan, or soccer fan, as we say in the U.S., took off his scarf that said Switzerland and gifted it to the Holy Father and asked him to put it on. So as soon as you were, of course, as his, we're reflecting here on John 17:1, that they all may be one. We might have seen a little bit of an example, right, of that in the audience today,
awesome.
John.
Awesome. Football can bring us together. Soccer, football as they call it in Europe and South America, soccer can bring us together. And I know the Holy Father is a big soccer fan. What a great moment. Very human, the qualities that we see in our Holy Father week in and week out. Ashley, on another issue, what was your take on the supposed rumored meeting between Pope Francis and President Joe Biden that never, ever happened?
Yes, well, it's really interesting, John, because it is quite traditional or typical that the U.S. president, upon his first trip to Europe, would meet with the Holy Father. Now, there were some kind of renegade rumors going around that that meeting would indeed happen between President Biden and Pope Francis, because, of course, President Biden is in Europe right now for several high-level meetings, and he, of course, has that meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin today. So, although, as I mentioned, there was a rumor flying around that Biden and Pope Francis would meet, that was never actually going to happen. Apparently, there was a request that President Biden have the opportunity to attend Pope Francis' early morning mass at Santa Marta, one of his private mass. That request was not granted, and we were told as journalists that it was because there would be a very grave impact of President Biden receiving Holy Communion from the Pope, and that would have a big impact on the discussions that the USCCB is planning to have during their meetings that start today. So the President of the U.S., actually when he was vice president, did meet with Pope Francis back in 2015 when the Pope visited the U.S. for the World Meetings of Families in Philadelphia. So that was their first meeting. So we will see what this means for the future, of course, in an attempt to allay scandal here today, John.
Absolutely. It sounds like that was the prudent thing to do by the Vatican. We're talking to Ashley Noronha live from Rome, our Rome correspondent here every Wednesday morning on Morning Air. Ashley, this coming Sunday here in the U.S. is Father's Day, as you well know, but in Italy, where you're at, Father's Day is actually celebrated on March 19th, the Feast of St. Joseph, our spiritual father.
Yes.
A great example for all of us. I find this fascinating that they celebrate it on March 19th, and today, Wednesday, is the traditional day that we honor St. Joseph. Can you talk briefly about how it's celebrated, Father's Day, in Italy?
Yes, in fact, first of all, it is definitely a family day. It is a holiday, which means that everything is closed and with the opportunity for people to be home with their families, which is such a beautiful thing. And then there's a major tradition in Rome that revolves around food. There's actually something called the beignet of St. Joseph. So imagine that it's very similar to a cream puff with some granulated sugar on top. And that is baked just for that special feast on March 19th of St. Joseph's Day. So people, of course, look forward to that. They go bright and early in the morning to get those beignets hot out of the oven so that they can enjoy them with their families. It's not fair to talk about all these things. Well, we'll save some for you, John. But in the meantime, over in Abruzzo, they do have the wonderful tradition that in a lot of ways has been carried on in the United States, where they have a St. Joseph table. And they will literally pack a large table with all kinds of wonderful foods and invite extended family to come and enjoy this St. Joseph table. And of course, it's a reminder of all of the abundant blessings that St. Joseph, of course, has poured on the Holy Family, and of course through his prayers on all of us and our own fathers, and all of the blessings that they have been and given to all of our families. So some very meaningful ways that these are celebrated, in addition to, of course, attending masses and spending family.
Well, Ashley, we also have some good news on the pandemic front. Rome is white. All of Italy will be white very soon. That's a white zone. Very briefly, what are some of the key changes?
Well, yes, it's so exciting to be able to say that, John. And so what that means is, first of all, our curfew has been completely lifted. So no more 10 p.m. requirement to be home. There is no curfew anymore at all. And that's pretty exciting. Businesses are open. Restaurants are open for both indoor and outdoor dining now. And they still request social distancing, masks indoors and in crowded outdoor places. But in the meantime, it's really exciting because we're seeing the fruits of this new white zone, because all kinds of wonderful cultural activities have now been announced. So, for example, Rome is officially going to open its summer opera season this month. And so in the famous Circus Maximus, which would be where all of the chariot races and games would have happened, this is going to be the backdrop of the Teatro dell'Opera, where they will have there will stage wonderful performances of La Boheme and Madame Butterfly, Swan Lake, Verdi's Requiem, all kinds of fantastic things for 26 evenings. It's reminding us that summer really has come despite any circumstances. Now, also another big announcement we just had is that there is going to be a festival held in the Forum from the 1st to the 20th of July that pays tribute to Dante Alighieri. Now, this year marks the 700th anniversary of Dante's death. So there have been all kinds of different things that have been happening, but this is going to be a free literature festival right there in the Roman Forum. And on certain nights, famous authors are going to come and pay homage to Dante. They're going to read texts that they have written that were inspired by a canto or a verse or a character from the Divine Comedy. So
Ashley, we're going to have to leave it right there. You know, the clock is always the enemy, but thanks so much for all your insights, for helping us to bring Rome to home to our audience. Thank you, Ashley.
It's a pleasure. God bless.
Grazie, grazie. Ashley Narona, our Rome correspondent, who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. You can also listen to her reports, Relevant in Rome podcasts on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Joe Bolin with Catholic Extension will update us on Puerto Rico's hurricane season and all the great work that Catholic Extension is doing on the island of Puerto Rico. And we'll have another Glenn Story Corner a little bit later in the show. Don't you dare change that dial. There's much more to come here on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
43 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on this Wednesday, June 16th. I'm John Morales. Great to be with you once again this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up a little bit later, we'll have another Glenn Story Corner for you this morning. Now, although summer doesn't officially begin until this Sunday, it sure feels like summer already in most of our nation, especially here in the Chicago area. Summer does not always equal sun and perfect weather. Some places have to deal with hurricanes hurricane season during the summer. Places like Puerto Rico, known in Spanish and Espanol, La Isla del Encanto, the Island of Enchantment. Now joining us live from San Juan, Puerto Rico, from La Isla del Encanto, is Joe Boland to talk about hurricane season and what Catholic Extension is doing in those communities. Joe is the Vice President of Mission at Catholic Extension. He and his team collaborate closely with the 86 mission dioceses that Catholic Extension supports. Good morning, Joe. Thank you so much for joining us from San Juan.
John, muchas gracias. Un placer. Good to be with you this morning.
Gran bendición. Great to be with you, Joe. Tell us, what's the weather like in that beautiful island that I have had the opportunity to visit a while back?
You know, it is hurricane season, as you mentioned, and so there's always a psychological shift that happens in everyone's brain down here, where from June to about the end of November, everyone's just a little bit on edge. The weather is beautiful down here right now. You know, it's about 86 degrees, and we're going to have some sunshine, but underneath, there's a lot of work being done to plan for the future of the Catholic Church in Puerto Rico, and that's what brings me down here this week.
Well, Joe, speaking about the Catholic Church in Puerto Rico, interesting little fact that I learned about Puerto Rico is that the Archdiocese of San Juan is the oldest Catholic diocese in the Western Hemisphere. Can you give us a little thumbnail of when it was founded, how many dioceses are on the island right now, and what is the Catholic population in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, so founded in 1511 by Bishop Alonso Manso, who came from Spain. It is the oldest diocese to be occupied by a Catholic bishop in all of the Western Hemisphere. So this is literally the cradle of the Catholic faith in the Western Hemisphere. So it's a very special place. Of course, the Catholic faith has continued to grow throughout the island. There are now six dioceses, all of which work with Catholic Extension, are supported by Catholic Extension in some way. And today, there's roughly about 2 million Catholics on the island, a very faithful people. They have a wonderful, beautiful faith that is founded, I really believe, in a spirituality of joy and of hope and of promise. In spite of all the difficulties that they've lived, especially over the past several years, and especially with natural disasters, the faith remains alive here in Puerto Rico, and our job at Catholic Extension is to help help the church build and grow so that it can do its beautiful work of saving souls and saving lives on this island.
Well, Joe, can you talk a little bit about the great work that Catholic Extension has been doing on the island of Puerto Rico?
Yeah, so Catholic Extension, since we've been around, which is 115 years, has always had a presence here helping build and repair churches, support critical ministries on the island. But our work really took, kind of a special concentration, if you will, about 4 years ago when Hurricane Maria hit. You know, it's the costliest, it's likely to be the costliest natural disaster ever to hit the United States when it's all said and done. It damaged about 1,000 Catholic churches. And the reason why that's so significant is because the Catholic Church plays such a huge role, not just in people's spiritual lives and not just even in doing its regular pastoral work. But if you remember those scenes from 4 years ago, if you can remember that far back, the Catholic Church was doing important work of delivering water, food, aid to people. And so we want to make sure that the Catholic Church can experience a resurgence. And so Catholic Extension is providing the seed money so that the church can ultimately recover about $300 million to rebuild and repair 1,000 churches and Catholic schools so that it can ultimately be more resilient for the next storm when it comes. And so we're knee-deep in that work right now, and I just want to say, as my plane touched down in Puerto Rico last night from Chicago, we just got the first word from FEMA that the first batch of churches have finally, 4 years after the storm, have finally been approved for funding. So we know we're on the brink of something very, very special.
Amen. What a great, great blessing, great news on that front. We're entering another hurricane season. How is this recovery from Maria, that Category 5 hurricane back in 2017 that killed nearly 3,000 people, considered by many the worst natural disaster ever recorded in Puerto Rico? How's that recovery going here 4 years later?
You know, it's slow. As I mentioned, you know, it's 4 years from the storm, and we've just gotten the first approval of our first houses of worship to be rebuilt. But what it means is there's tremendous momentum in what we're doing. And so, you know, it means that our hope is that this is going to begin to open the floodgates, not literally, of funding that will help the church rebuild and repair itself. And the good news in all of this is that the church is not just going to rebuild to what it was like before the hurricane, but the funds are actually going to be used to help build more resiliently. Actually, the Catholic Church last summer, with the help of our recovery team, was able to win a competitive bid that's going to help it build safer, smarter, more eco-friendly, and more resilient structures, so that ultimately the church can be more resilient and save more lives and help more people, and continue to do its critical work after the next storm comes down the road.
We're joined by Joe Bolin, Vice President of Mission of Catholic Extension, joining us live from San Juan, Puerto Rico, where the work of Catholic Extension has been outstanding over recent years, especially in that island. Joe, all these churches, you mentioned the funding that's coming for the 1,000 churches. How challenging is it to rebuild? And I imagine some of these churches are ancient, some of these beautiful old Spanish churches that go all the way back to the time of the Conquista.
That's absolutely right, and that's absolutely one of the challenges. We're dealing sometimes with churches that have been built 500 years ago. There's a church on the island where it is built on the bones of martyrs who were martyred here, and it's about a 500-year-old structure. And now the challenge about that is FEMA, when you're making requests for funds, ask for proof of ownership. Well, when something dates back 500 years, it's a little hard to give a document that shows exactly, that gives them exactly what they're looking for. And so we've had to have many, many conversations, our recovery team has, with FEMA to make sure that we're all operating on the same, wavelength in terms of proof of ownership of these various structures. But yes, many of the great jewels, architectural jewels of Puerto Rico will be repaired as a part of this, but also those little mission chapels up at the top of the mountains where the faith is so vibrant and so alive. And those are the ones that we're really excited about, where, not only will we preserve the heritage, the faith heritage of Puerto Rico, but also the places where the faithful come and they have their home, their parish home.
Joe, do you feel that Catholic Extension's efforts will enable the church in Puerto Rico to be more resilient in the face of the next major hurricane? Because you really never know when the next one is coming, or even the next tropical storm, not necessarily a full-blown hurricane.
Yes, it most definitely will. And that is part of what this program entails, is that you will see fortified structures built to withstand future storms, and that is what is so exciting about this project. And we are, as Catholic Extension, we're a papal society, and actually the Vatican has taken great interest in this project because they know how important it is for the future of the church here. And so we regularly give them updates, especially the Vatican Secretary of State, about what's happening here in Puerto Rico, and they're very encouraged to hear some of the progress, slow as it might be, learn about some of this progress that we're making here in Puerto Rico. And we know that ultimately at the end of this, as long as a process as it is, we'll have a more resilient and a stronger church, not only in our structures, but hopefully also in our faithfulness and our resolve as a people of God.
Joe, tell me about the bishops in your six dioceses and the 2 million faithful. How have they received the great work that you're doing with Catholic Extension to help the people of Puerto Rico on the island?
Yeah, so all of the work of Catholic Extension is always done with and through the local bishops. And so we really are partners to these good men. And I really want to emphasize this. The bishops in Puerto Rico are such wonderful shepherds. They are so close to their people. They are close to both the hopes and the joys and the dreams, but also the pains and the sufferings of their people. And so this was a project that we cultivated along with them and are doing it with and for them. And I'll be with all the bishops later today, and they're so absolutely grateful. You know, sometimes when you're going through a very rough time, when you have some friends and some people that are willing to help you out, you know, it just makes the load a little bit lighter. And so it's a real joy for us to be able to work with them. And I remember hours after Hurricane Maria, when one of the bishops was finally able to get a cell phone signal, the first phone call that he made was to Catholic Extension, and the request was very simple. He said, "It's chaotic here. We need your help. I don't know how, but we need your help." And I just said, "Bishop, we will help you." And the rest has sort of unfolded over the past 4 years. So it's a good relationship, but we're lucky to be able to work with such wonderful bishops down here.
Maria hit the island very hard 4 years ago, but we were all hit hard by the pandemic over the last 15 months. How has the pandemic affected the people of Puerto Rico, and is that something that Catholic Extension is also dealing with?
Absolutely. Really, it was kind of a 1-2 punch, because right before the pandemic, believe it or not, there was a series of earthquakes on Puerto Rico as well.
I remember those.
And, we're actually working with those dioceses as well to help them. Luckily, we had a recovery team on the island, and we were able to bring them in as well to support the building and repair of churches that were damaged in the earthquakes as well. So that work is ongoing. Then the pandemic hit. You know, I'm going to be meeting with all of the clergy this week throughout Puerto Rico, and the reading that I've chosen to kind of start out the conversation is from the Book of Job, because every time I think about Puerto Rico, I think about the Book of Job, of this faithful people, this faithful person in the form of Job, who undergoes all of these hardships, yet in the end remains faithful. And if you remember the conclusion of the Book of Job, he's not only restored, to health and to prosperity, but doubly so. And so that's what we're going to be sharing with our Puerto Rican people today, is you all have endured so much, but your faithfulness remains, your fidelity to God, the hope in his promise. And our hope and our dream is that ultimately you too will be restored from what has been destroyed. And in doing so, have a restoration of prosperity, both in faith and in our physical structures as well. So, yes, we're sort of living this biblical moment right now here in Puerto Rico.
Joe, it sounds like there are many signs of hope. These have been difficult times, but the faith and the hope of the Puerto Rican people is very strong and very alive.
It is, and I tell them this all the time. They are a witness to me that I'm not the same person or Catholic that I was before I got into this work with Catholic Extension. I've been working with Catholic Extension for 13 years and coming to Puerto Rico for 13 years. They have really changed me to see their fidelity, that they never lose hope. And through all of their hardship, still keep this sense of joy about them. And to me, that is a real lesson that I believe we can all learn from. And something that obviously we as Catholic Extension want to share with the larger church, and something that we're always happy to tell the story of Puerto Rico.
Joe, what do you hope to accomplish during this trip to Puerto Rico in these upcoming days?
Yeah, you know, so when you're part of a recovery that is as long as the one that we're, part of right now, which is it's 4 years and we've still got a long way to go. You know, sometimes it's helpful just to kind of get everybody in the same room, which is what we're going to do, be meeting with all of our pastors in every diocese, just to kind of get on the same page again and say, you know, what is our goal? How did we get into this, and how are we progressing towards the ultimate goal? And what can we be looking forward to for the rest of the year? And as I said, luckily, thankfully, we're beginning to see some promise, some signs of hope. And the first bit of hope that I got as I touched down on the island again was to hear news that FEMA has finally approved the first churches. Funding is approved for the first churches to be rebuilt now, 4 years after Hurricane Maria. That's a great sign of hope, and I want to share that with all of our pastors.
Joe, 30 seconds. What can we do as Catholics to support the work of Catholic Extension in Puerto Rico?
You know, I would encourage anybody to go to our website. We work with 86 very diverse dioceses across the country. We're working in the places where the needs are incredibly great, the poorest regions of our country. And our mission is singular, to help build up and strengthen the Catholic Church so that it can do its life-saving, soul-saving work. And that includes here in Puerto Rico. So just simply go to the website, CatholicExtension.org. Check out some of the things we're doing, not only in Puerto Rico, but around the country, some of the very inspiring work of the Catholic Church. It'll help grow your own faith.
Well, Joe, we really appreciate you coming on with us from San Juan, Puerto Rico, to really paint a picture for us about the great work that Catholic Extension is doing on this island. Thank you so much.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
Great to be with Joe Boland, Vice President of Mission at Catholic Extension. Want to remind you that we got a lot more to come coming up in the next hour. Spiritual Director today, Father Marcel Tayon, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Church in Narragansett, Rhode Island, will be with us to discuss the Liturgy of the Hours and much, much more. Do stay with us on the next hour of Morning Air. More to come on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.